This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 861 with Tressa Boeheim. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 861. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Tressa Boeheim is an online business manager. She's actually my online business manager, which we will talk about in a bit, as well as a strategic partner who supports women entrepreneurs in all that they do. She's a project manager, back office coordinator, and a people wrangler who knows product development and online marketing. She goes beyond the typical online business manager with nearly 15 years of experience and knowledge, plus the ability to help her clients execute their big and small visions in the world. Tressa is one of those extremely organized type A people, and it aligns perfectly with her role as a strategic partner. Running a micro agency allows her to utilize everything in her toolbox, knowledge, and business acumen attained through an MBA, skills mastered through years in a corporate position, and managing businesses since 2009 to help her clients thrive. She's from the United States and has lived abroad in Leipzig, Germany since 2016 with her husband and two daughters. So like I said, Tressa is my online business manager, and I've worked with her for a couple of years, a few years, sometime. We started working together sometime after 2020, maybe before 2022. Time is so weird. I don't know. But we've worked together for a while now, and I so value Tressa. So first of all, she helps keep a lot of things organized for me, and her team has been so phenomenal as we've worked through different services and offers and products that we offer clients in my business over the last few years. But on top of that, her strategy, what I really appreciate is her strategy and her role as a strategist. And when I'm feeling stuck around something, that she is really, really helpful in terms of being able to share her experience, because she's worked with so many people in businesses similar to mine over the years. So it's very, very fun to have her in my corner. It's also very helpful and productive and efficient to have her in my corner. The other thing that I really appreciate about her is that she and I have both been in this entrepreneurial space for long enough to see the good, the bad, the ugly, and the super, super dirty. And so what I know and love about my ability to trust Tressa is that we've seen a lot of the unethical things that people have done, especially in the coaching space, especially in the online coaching space. And she knows where I stand. She knows what I believe in. She knows my values and ethics, and she has very similar ones. And so it makes it so much easier to trust her when she's helping me, whether we're doing like, you know, some touch-up stuff on my website or getting ready to launch something. I can really trust how she's going to help my business present with its best foot forward, because she knows what I stand for, and we agree on the shady stuff that we've seen behind the scenes from other people, and that we're not doing it that way. So I love that, like, having her as a tool in my back pocket also feels like a little bit of a secret weapon in my back pocket, which is really fun. So I asked her to come on the show because she has this unique experience of supporting people in the online space, but also being an expat in Germany, raising kids, mom of two daughters. And I knew we could have a really fun conversation. So with all that, listen in to hear Tressa share what it's like being an expat in Germany, what it's like raising her daughters who are 12 and 14 in a country different than she grew up in, which is so interesting to me. The things that her kids get to do and the levels of independence that they have, which she talks about, because they're in Germany and not the US, things are different over there. Level of safety is different over there, which is really interesting in terms of how that plays out in terms of kids' independence. She also shares how she started her business as a virtual assistant when her daughters were very young. She talks about the impact of women's inability to ask for help and what the impact of that is on their lives and their businesses. She talks about the cost of carrying tons of 5-minute tasks on your to-do list. So listen in to hear Tressa share what it's like being an expat in Germany, what it's like raising her daughters who are 12 and 14 years old in a different country than she grew up in, the difference between kids' independence in Germany and the US, which is super interesting in terms of the level of safety and independence her daughters have over there compared to what most people have here in the US. Then she talks about how she started her business as a virtual assistant when her daughters were very young. She talks about the cost of carrying tons of 5-minute tasks on your to-do list. Oh, this is so relatable. The unexpected gifts of having someone else as a decision maker and action taker in your business, which is the role that she plays for me. And then she digs into how to know when you need more strategic help in your business. So whether you're looking to hire an online business manager or you're just looking to get support in a business that you're building, growing, or you're looking to build, Tressa has such a helpful perspective on all of that. And if you just want to know, like, what is it like to raise children in another country? Because I know some of you all are considering it, especially as we head into an election year. Tressa is going to answer your questions on that too. So with all that, please join me in welcoming Tressa Boeheim to the Shameless Mom Academy. Tressa, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so excited to have you here.
Me too. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
We were just laughing before we hit record because we're kind of reversing roles. So Tressa is my online business manager. And once a month I go to a call and I'm like, Tressa, tell me what to do. And now I get to be like, Tressa, here's what we're doing.
Exactly.
So this will be a lot of fun. I'm going to really enjoy this role reversal.
Me too, to be honest.
Right? You don't have, this is just like you answering questions instead of you having to help me strategize.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's go ahead and dive in. And can you tell us a little bit about the dynamics of your personal and professional life beyond your bio and anything you're particularly excited about right now?
Yeah. So I live in Germany, which means I am an expat from the US and I have two daughters. So it's really interesting running a business in a time zone that is at least 6 hours ahead of most of your clients, sometimes more like 9 hours, depending on where they're located. So that definitely adds some interesting challenges to the mix. And it's really interesting having the perspective of an American in another country and like what's going on in the US right now and all of that craziness and kind of seeing it from a different lens. And then also just
and probably being glad you don't live here. You're like, that good thing I left that in the past.
Most of the time. Yes. Most of the time. Very glad. And then, you know, just raising children in quote unquote foreign country. Like there's so much that's wrapped up in that, that like I had no idea we were going to be experiencing when we moved here 7 years ago. And it's just so interesting seeing that, seeing being a mom and raising children from the perspective of living in a country you didn't grow up in. It's pretty crazy at times.
Okay. I have to ask a follow-up question to that then. Well, first of all, how old are your girls? Can you let our listeners know?
My two daughters are 12 and 14. So we're right there in the tween years. The tween and the teen years are very, very much on fire right now.
And I get a little updates every once in a while on our calls where I get
And you also get to see them every once in a while when they
come
say hi.
And they're so sweet. So In contrast to my child, who, if he barges in on a call, typically has a demand, your daughters will come in and like give you a hug and I love you, mom. And I'm like, when do I get to that part? Like, we were there a few years ago, but we are not there right now.
Yeah, they do definitely have demands, as one of them is knocking on the door literally as we speak. But they do definitely come in and give me love sometimes too. So it's always a nice surprise what I'm going to get.
Right. What is it like? You mentioned raising kids in a different country than where you grew up, which is, I think, so interesting and fascinating. And just thinking about that makes my anxiety around unfamiliarity pick up a notch. Can you talk a little bit about what that's looked like and any, if there's any like specific challenges or surprises that have come up around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the most interesting things when we first moved here, my daughters were quite young. I want to say my older daughter was second grade and my younger daughter was pre-K kindergarten, which here in Germany actually means she wasn't officially starting school because they don't start school until a year later than the US. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a completely different perspective. The way that Germans raise their children is so different. It's much more independent based and much more community based. And so one of the first things that I noticed was, you know, my girls were quite young and I would be going somewhere and I would see 6, 7-year-olds on the tram by themselves going to school. Uh-huh. And as an American, my first thought was, oh my goodness, like what is happening here? Mm-hmm. Right. But it's so normal here for kids at a much younger age to be out and about by themselves, taking the tram, taking the bus, getting themselves to school. And it instills a lot more independence, I feel like. And, you know, some of this is living in a city, but my daughters at this age, 12 and 14, if we lived in the US, they probably wouldn't really be able to go anywhere on their own for the most part. But they go downtown with their friends all the time. They run their own errands. They run errands for me. And it's just very normal. And I feel like that's helping them be more independent. But it's also forcing me to let them be more independent, right? And so I really had to have a huge shift in my mindset around parenting because it's just so different. And I think part of that, at least, comes from the fact that in the US, if you were to see a child doing something somewhat dangerous, somewhat scary, you would hesitate to say anything if you didn't know that child. If you had no idea who they were, you would hesitate a bit because it's just not normal for people to do that for other people's children.
Like to parent other people's kids.
To parent other people's kids. It's just not normal. Whereas here, it's expected that you are kind of looking out for other people's children. And so if you see a child that, you know, looks like they need help, it's very common for an adult to ask, are you okay? Do you need something? Do you need help? It's not just you have to find a police officer or, you know, it's any adult will kind of say, do you need something? And we've had a few instances where that's actually been really beneficial. And so just seeing that more community mindset has made it a little easier to, you know, let them have more freedom.
That's so interesting. It's really interesting. You don't realize like the habits and routines and the within the system that you're in until someone points out that theirs are different. And then you're like, sounds kind of lovely. Like the putting my kid on a bus or subway or public transportation at age 7 does not sound desirable. But this idea that everyone's looking out for my kid instead of what I feel like in the US is every stranger could be bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is really, really different.
Yes. And it definitely took me some time to be ready to put my, you know, young child on a tram or a bus by themselves. Yeah. But now I don't even think twice about it. My daughters constantly are like, hey, we're going to go downtown. We're going to go, you know, to the drugstore and grab some face masks, which is their most exciting thing at the moment. And it's just like, okay, great. Do you have your phone? Let me know, you know, let me know where you are. And I don't even think twice about it now, which is, you know, pretty awesome.
I love it. Also, as an aside, you don't drive in Germany. And so
Correct.
You are able to just be like, bye kids. Like you don't have to do carpool. You're not driving them downtown. Like this also, there's this level of like self-sufficiency that is amazing.
Yes. And I will tell you, major mom goal of like reached this year. They pretty much get themselves to school almost entirely by themselves. So we've been working towards this for the last 2 years because, again, running a business that is 6 to 9 hours ahead of most of my clients, I tend to work a little bit later in the evenings. And so getting up at 6:30, 6:45 to get them out the door to school is pretty painful. And now I would say 3 mornings out of the week, I don't even get up. They just get themselves up. They get out the door. 2 mornings a week, I might get up and be like, hey, are you awake? Are you going to school? You need to leave now. But that's about the extent of it. And it's pretty amazing to just be, you know, you're on your own, get out the door, go to school, and not have to deal with any of that for sure.
Oh my gosh. And people who have younger children are, it's like unbelievable that that day will ever arrive, that they just get themselves out of bed and they just like, I mean, for me, it's like they pack their own backpack instead of me having to be like, did you put this in there? Did you put this in there? Did you put this in there? So you're giving us all
for
hope.
Sure.
I love it.
Yes, it did take us 2 years to get there, but we're finally there this year and it's super exciting.
Oh, that's so great. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4, yes, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code shameless, shameless. AquaTrue.com code shameless. Okay, so I want to talk a bit about your business. Can you tell people how you work with folks? And I'm realizing I don't know some of this stuff, even though I worked with you now for years. But did you start your business in the US?
Yep. So I actually started doing what I do now in the US when my older daughter was born. I transitioned entirely to doing this when my younger daughter was born, largely because I taught test prep for about 10 years before I did this. But unfortunately, my younger daughter didn't believe in sleeping. And so it was much more difficult for me to do nights and weekends with, you know, two children, one of whom never slept. And so I started, you know, as a virtual assistant, which, you know, basically is equivalent to an administrative assistant in the corporate world, and very quickly realized I'm pretty good at this. I really like doing this. And so I started taking on more and more, working with higher level clients, focusing on strategy. And then I ran someone's law firm for about, I think, 3 or 4 years as an employee. And then when I moved to Germany, I had intended to just continue doing that, but for a variety of reasons, that wasn't going to work. And so I was in Germany, had no idea what I was going to do, had no idea if I was legally allowed to work in this country because my husband's job handled everything. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I guess I'm starting a business. I guess that's what we're doing today. And so I just basically started doing the same exact thing that I'd been doing for the last several years, just as a freelancer on my own. And from that, the agency kind of developed over the last 6 or 7 years.
Okay. It's been interesting as we've gotten to know each other outside of you just telling me what to do. And the different ways that the online business landscape, there's so much overlap in terms of industry and people and leadership and people who work for people. And it's this big melting pot. And if you're in it long enough, you are somehow connected to like everyone else who's in it. And so it's been interesting and fun for us to talk about some of the things that we've seen over time and the ways that we've seen these systems grow and evolve. And I know I've been running businesses online since the early 2000s. And I've seen things grow and change in so many ways. And I think that there was a time where in like 2010-ish, where I was like, oh, like this is how people run businesses online, kind of just following quote unquote gurus and like a model that I was like, I don't know, that sounds good. Like, I guess if they can make money that way, I can make money this way. And looking at it in this really formulaic way and taking on someone else's formula without thinking about, does this feel good? Is this aligned with my core values? Like, is this the right move for my business? Is this the business, the foundation I want to be building? And it took me getting a ways down that path to realize some of this stuff is really icky. And then yes, over time, undoing things, and this would have been all kind of when I still had my fitness business, but then undoing some stuff and then continuing to have to learn about how important it is to be conscientious as you're building businesses or building a business in terms of who you let in, who you're influenced by, how you listen to your intuition in order to guide decision-making versus just following someone because they have reached a certain level of success that you think would be desirable for you. So there's a lot of discernment that comes over time. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you've seen in that space?
Absolutely. So it's actually really interesting that you know, bring this up because this is something that I work with my clients all the time because I typically work with clients in a very similar situation where they've maybe accidentally, maybe on purpose, started a business and created something that they didn't entirely intend to create. And then they often get to this point where they're thinking, okay, there's certain things that work. There's certain things that in my business model that I've adopted from other people or that I've developed over the years that I really like. And then there's these other things that I feel like I have to do, that I feel like I should do, that mm-hmm. just feel gross mm-hmm. or are actually the opposite of what makes my life work and makes my life make sense, right? And so they're at this crossroads where they have to figure out, what is it that is important to me? How do I want to show up in my business? Because yes, online business is amazing in so many ways because, you know, I can run a business from Germany and have clients all over the world that I meet with, you know, starting at 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. at night. And many of them I've worked with for 6, 7, 8 years, and I've literally never met them in person. That's amazing, right? Yeah. But on the flip side, you can end up creating a business that is the opposite of your core values without even realizing it. Yeah. And without even grasping, hold on a second. Why am I doing this? Is it because some random person on the internet told me I should do it this way? And who decided that they were the authority that could tell me what to do? Right. And so digging into a combination of what is actually my core values and understanding how I want to show up for my family, for my team, for my clients or my customers is a big part of kind of what I do with clients. And then what does that mean operationally, right? Because a lot of times clients will start a business and they'll be like, I want to be home at 3 p.m. for when my kids get home from school. That is super important to me, but they have no idea of how to make that a reality, mm-hmm. right? And so I only want to work from 9 to 3 because that's when my kids are in school. And I want to be able to, you know, go to story time on a Wednesday if I feel like it, or I want to go to that parent teacher conference without it being a big deal. But then they get stuck in the, how do I actually make that work in and still run a business?
Exactly. And this is where the idea of running a business sounds really lofty and freeing. Yes. There's a lot of things about it that are freeing for sure, but it's also having time freedom takes a lot to get there. And it takes a lot of really intentional decision-making and values guided decision-making to get in that spot where you actually have the business that you love. And I've been in many situations over the last 20 years of building businesses where I've in following either what my clients need over what I need, or in following what I see other people doing, I have overridden my own values or my own instincts around what is sustainable for me. And this happened all the time when I was a personal trainer, where every time I would have a 6 a.m. session open up, I would tell people because it was the most popular time. And so I'm like, oh, I want to be like the most accommodating. Well, after years and years of having clients at 6 a.m. Monday through Saturday, I was a miserable person. Getting up at like 5 a.m. for it was just not fun. And I was starting to have all these sleep issues and anxiety around sleep. And on my weekend, like my Sunday would be ruined by the idea that, oh my gosh, I have to go back into the cycle of having. So I had been meeting my clients' needs without really listening to my own. And I think one of the things, and I think that's really easy to do when you have a business, is just like following where you feel like people want you to go and then listening to or noticing what other people doing the similar thing are doing. I'm curious for you what you notice. When people do finally come to you, and I can say this with me, when I finally came to you, I had been overdoing things in my business that were not the best use of my time for so long that it took me a minute to, first of all, recognize that there would be someone that could understand my business in a way and understand my values in a way that I could trust them to make choices for me or to do things behind the scenes for me. But also then to even like know what to ask for help around, because I was so busy doing it all myself and so busy putting like feeling like, not only do I need to do it all myself, but I'm like the best at doing it all. And there's no way that someone over in Germany could do it.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that, the impact or women's inability to ask for help, and also kind of when people finally come to you, what that, the state that they're in and how you start to guide them?
So I think there's kind of a double whammy here, mm-hmm. right? Because as women, we're conditioned probably from birth to never mm-hmm. ask for help. Yeah. And, you know, you see these funny memes of like, I'm dragging my broken leg behind me. I've chopped off my leg and like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't need help. Right. And it's really true. So you combine that with this entrepreneur bootstrap mentality of I'm going to start this business from nothing and I don't need anybody's help and I can do everything myself. And when you first get started, yes, you absolutely can. And in many cases, you probably need to because, you know, budgets are real and we've got to make it work when we're first getting started. But what this creates is a habit and a pattern of never asking for the help that you need. And also, so many business owners, when they get to this point that, you know that they could probably be creating more and putting more out there in the world in their business, but they're so bogged down by doing everything themselves, it's really hard to even recognize what could I give up, right? And so it's just this like never-ending cycle of I have to do everything myself because I'm a woman and that's what I'm conditioned to do. And being able to do everything myself is what got me here. But you know, one thing that I like to point out a lot, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, is, you know, what got me here isn't going to get me there, right?
Yeah.
So what got me to this point in my business, it worked. It was, there was nothing bad about it. But if I want to get to whatever that next milestone is, and that milestone is very different, right? For some people, that's a revenue milestone. For some people, that's a, I just don't want to work this hard anymore, right? That's their milestone is, I just don't want to work this hard anymore. But getting them from where they are to where they want to go, it requires a shift. And one of those shifts is recognizing, what do I need to be spending my time on? What is my highest value thing as a business owner, as, you know, sometimes as a mom, like showing up, right? And if that's the case, what's got to change, right? What do I have to give up? And people don't often understand that bringing someone in to help you in your business is actually really challenging because you have to give up so much control. Right? You have to be willing to give up control. And just like with our kids, as they grow up, a big part of letting them grow up is giving up control. And so we have to practice this on a daily basis as moms, as business owners, supporting people. You know, I have to be willing to give up control. And it can be very terrifying, but the end results are often really freeing because it helps you get where you ultimately really want to go.
Right. Absolutely. It's so interesting how this runs in these parallel tracks around for motherhood and for if you're running your own business or whatever you're doing professionally. This, like, I can do it better than anyone else and I can do it super fast because we've conditioned ourselves to do everything really fast because there's so many things to do. So it would be easier for me to just do it than ask someone to do it or to teach someone else how to do it my way. But then there is this point in all of those tracks where in motherhood, if you're building a business, if you're on a, you know, traditional corporate professional track, there is this breaking point or point of burnout where, yeah, you can still do it all. And yeah, you can do things fast and efficiently. And also you're real tired and maybe pretty mad at you doing all the things. And sometimes having someone else do them, even if they do them to like 80% of the way you would have done them, is worth having someone else do them. So I will say, Tressa, your work has never been 80% work. Like, your team always does amazing. But I'm thinking of specifically when my husband wanted to help with dinner at one point. This was years ago. Vinny probably was like 3 or 4. And I was super behind making dinner. I'm the person who makes dinner. We had a running joke that he was like, I can't make dinner because you would just micromanage me the whole time. And I was like, actually, you're right. So why don't you just never make dinner and I'll make dinner? And so this one night, though, he said, I was in the weeds and Vinny was upset about something or whatever. So he was like, let me help. So I'm like, okay, cool. Can you chop up this green pepper? And he starts chopping it. This is not a hard task. And this is a task that can be done in more than one way. And I'm watching out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, he's doing it wrong. So I go over and I'm like, no, I like to do it this way. The end product, by the way, was the same, but he was like slicing in a different direction. And then he did not like that. So then I went to make another suggestion. And when I made the second suggestion, I was like, I tried to be more gentle. So I said something like, sometimes I notice that it works better if I do it this way than that way, if you wanted to try that. And he looked at me and he was like, I can chop a green pepper and it can be in a different method. And also they can end up in different sizes than you. And it doesn't matter. Like, it's going into tacos. Who cares? And this realization that he could do it differently and the outcome would be fine, even if it was a little bit different, was really eye-opening. And I will say in my business, every time I brought someone else in, I've had this experience of recognizing that sometimes you can bring people in who do it better than you because they have levels of expertise that you don't have. So for example, you have your team make graphics for me from time to time, and I'll look and I'll be like, Oh my gosh, I wouldn't have even thought to put like that gold fleck there. And it looks so good. And here I was thinking I was doing a great job doing my own graphics. So having other people step in and do things allows you to see, to have access to someone else's talents, which can be extremely helpful. And freeing up 5-minute tasks, whether it's in your home or in your business, creates exponentially more mental space. And this is where I have gotten so tripped up, and so many of my business coaching clients get tripped up, is where you say like, it only takes a few minutes and I can just do it really fast. But the amount of time in your head that you have to remind yourself to do that thing every day, if not days, or throughout the day, if not days on end, takes up a ton of mental energy. And so for me, it was like picking art for my show for the Monday episode every week. This is this ongoing thing where picking art for the Monday episode, it was always the thing that held me up with getting information out to my team and saying like, everything's ready. I hated picking this art. I was basically picking a new headshot of me every week. So I'm just looking at myself and thinking, no one wants to look at me. And then having a realization, like either my team can pick for me, or we can have a template that someone creates and we just use that every time. And all of a sudden, being able to recognize you can create a different system and someone else can own that system. And now I don't have to think of what picture I'm going to use every week. That's a 5-minute task at the most, but I felt like it gave me like 5 hours of time back in my week.
Yeah. And it's not just the time that it gives back, because as you mentioned, like it's not just that 5 minutes. It's right. Holding all of those tasks in your brain all the time, because even if you're not actively working on it, it's still in your brain as something that needs to happen that you have to keep track of. Right. I think there's that great analogy. I don't remember who it is, but there's that great analogy of like holding all the glass balls. Right. And you can drop some of the balls that are not glass and it's not that big of a deal. But the glass balls, if you drop them, right, it creates this chaos. And so, you know, having to hold all of those different kinds of balls all the time, it's exhausting. It's completely exhausting. And so being able to start to recognize that, yes, this is a 5-minute task, whether it's, you know, folding the laundry a certain way, or picking the art for your show, getting someone else to do that, even if it's not perfect, quote unquote, even if it's not the way you would do it, as long as it's done and it's relatively correct, sometimes we just got to let it go, right? You know, we've been working on getting the girls to do chores, right? And one of the things similarly was like the way that I like the towels rolled in the bathroom, right? They have
we
to be rolled.
We are so
a certain
in this
way.
At our house. Oh, we're so in the same spot. Like, okay, do I have to just go redo all the chores after he does it?
Yeah. Yes. And so I finally, after I don't know how long, one day was just this giant mound of towels sitting there waiting for me to fold them so that they could be, you know, just so. I just couldn't do it anymore and just said, okay, great, fold the towels. I'm just going to not ever look at them. And every time I look at them, I'm not going to lie, they do irritate me because they're not right, you know, quote unquote, right.
Right.
But I just decided what matters more, my sanity or the fact that the towels are, you know, just a little crooked. I don't really care. Right. And so recognizing those kinds of opportunities to free up that mental space, it's more than just the time it takes to fold the towels. It's that I don't ever have to manage that process again. Yeah. In addition to the time that it takes to, you know, fold the towels or pick the show art, whatever it is.
Right. And it's the management of the process, because it's funny, we don't think about things being a process, but everything, every to-do is a process in some way. So we think of it as like a singular 5-minute task. It's really like you have to be in the right place at the right time with the right things in the right headspace. Like there's all these things that go with that, that you have to get yourself to. And so I love the towel example, because I know that's relatable to all of our moms.
Yeah. And I think the thing that, you know, when you say everything is a process, right? It's also, when we think about it, there is so much dread attached to so many tasks. Like if we think about, you know, if we think about this task for like, for me, one of my tasks is our taxes are really complicated. We file taxes in 2 different countries. And so the part that I have to do maybe takes 15, 20 minutes, right? But I will procrastinate for 9 months
Same.
Getting it to the CPA, right? Getting it to the tax people. And then when I do it, I'm like, this literally took 15 minutes. But yeah. I have been thinking about doing this for the last 6 months, right? And it's been holding that space and that dread. So, you know, one of the exercises that I like to do with clients isn't just about how long is this task going to take, right? Because so often when we're trying to decide what to give away to other people, we just think about, oh, well, that's just a 15-minute task, right? That's a 5-minute task, not a big deal. But what's more impactful is to think about how much dread does this create every day, every week, every month when I keep pushing it off?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this task actually feel like? Because it isn't just about how long it's going to take me. It's how does it feel when I finally do it or when I put it off for 9 months, you know, and how many times do I beat myself up about it versus just figure out a way to give it to someone else so that that dread isn't part of your everyday life anymore.
Right.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
And also the compounding effect of having multiple things like that on your list. So it's like you have the tax thing that takes up space, and then you have the this thing and the that thing. And the, I know, like for me this time of year, it's like the summer camp thing. So there's all of these things lined up. And so you go into like any given day or week with like, oh, I have so many things to do I don't want to do. So wherever you can have someone else support that, then, oh my gosh, it's such a big win. We recently walked through something together when I knew I needed to rewrite copy for my the homepage of my speaking website. And I'd been thinking about it for a while. Like I'd been noticing for, you know, like a year, like that, oh, I need to redo this copy. It needs to be more specific around some certain things that have become just more, you know, that are more centered in my business now than they used to be in terms of my speaking business. And I mentioned to you, like, we need to get to this at some point. And then you were like, okay, well, while we're on a call, like, let's just open it up and start talking through, like, what would we move and what would we add in? And I remember you had assigned me homework of sending you some, like, reword a few things here and then send it back to me. And you know, but my audience doesn't know that I don't do super well with that, that I mean to do really well with that. And when I get off the call with you, I'm like, yes, I'm going to do that task immediately. But then I often don't get around to it because other things just becomes more urgent. So we got back on a call a couple of weeks later. I hadn't done the task yet. I hadn't created the copy. And we sat down together on that call and we went through like every line of copy and we changed things, rewarded things. And that took that task that had been living in my head for so many years or for so many months And it gave it a place to live. It gave me a partner to do it with. And it also created this container. Like, we're doing this here right now together. You don't even have to think about it outside of this. And that was so incredibly helpful. And I think that's the piece that people miss out when they think about running their own business, is they don't think about what would it be like to be able to do some things collaboratively in my business, or to be able to trust someone to walk through something like writing copy that's really, really specific. And when I'm writing copy about how I run trainings for women and for people in marginalized communities, like, I'm being really specific about how I say things. And to have someone who understands that on a really deep level, as you do and your team does, is so helpful, because then it's like two sets of eyes who can notice, how do we want to say this? And what's the nuance here? And what's the right verbiage? And what if we did it this way versus that way? And that's ultimately an invaluable component of running my business and having someone share that space with me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we often don't we don't understand that the way we've always done things is, again, not the way we have to continue doing things.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
if there's something that isn't working, let's try it a different way, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I value the most about having clients that I work with for so long is that I do know their businesses really well. And so I can kind of be that. My clients often refer to it, and I think you've heard this phrase, as, right, the other adult in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of the other person holding that space with them and
right.
being kind of their second business brain. In sometimes that's what you need to get something done, right? You need someone who can both collaborate and kind of hold you accountable at the same time, right?
Right.
Because a lot of what I find we struggle with as women and as moms is we have so many things that we're trying to keep track of that sometimes it's super easy to get off track with our values and with our, what is important to us. And so this thing that really isn't that big of a task, right? Rewriting the copy on your homepage, for example, is technically not, it's not that much copy, right? It's not
right.
that big of a task.
It felt like writing a book to me.
Yes.
not because of it having that kind of length to it, but like, that's how big the project was in my head.
Right. And because there's so much wrapped up in it, but at the end of the day, having the ability to kind of have someone who can collaborate with you and can remind you, well, this is what you said you wanted. Are you sure that this is working or that's not working? And what about this, right? Kind of holding that space, it has an exponential effect on my clients and on the world as a whole, which is amazing, because I get to watch, business owners. They often come to me very overwhelmed, very stressed. They aren't really sure what on earth they're going to do differently. And after,
they don't know what they need. Like, it's okay
yeah.
to ask for help and not know what you need.
Yes, absolutely. And then I get to watch this evolution of, watching them go from that to understanding, okay, this is what I need to be spending my time on. This is what is the highest value task in my business. And it's okay to let go of all the other things, mm-hmm. right? It's okay to give that to someone else to accomplish for mm-hmm. me, because at the end of the day, I've created something that actually supports my life, right? And one of the things that I often say is, you started a business to support your life, but now your business runs your life, right?
Right.
And so if you don't like that, then you have to do things differently so that your business is there to support your life, not to run your life, right?
Right. Yeah. One of the really helpful things that we did together, oh gosh, like probably a year and a half ago now, you brought in Barrett, who is one of your team members, and we had Barrett go and do some research on ideas for topics for podcast episodes. And this is something where, like, on any given week, I might have 72 ideas for an episode, but then on another week, I might be like, I've already said everything. And I can think of something, like if I go for a walk or, like, give myself a little space, I can come up with something. But That list that Barrett came up with, she's like, here's what people are currently searching for. Here's the things that have been said. Here's the things that haven't been said. Here's some ideas on keywords. And I still use that list. Just this week, I went to that list. I have like a ton of things that are big projects this week that are really significant, that are taking up a ton of brain space and energy. And I was like, I don't have the capacity to be creative about a new podcast episode. I went back to the list and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, there's one right there. And I could pick something out, pull it out, create an episode around it really quickly that will be of high value to my audience. And this is the other thing, is having someone from the outside say, these are the things that your clients are looking for right now. These are the things, like having a third party step out and be like, I'm going to go be your eyes and ears on the internet and figure out what people need and then come back to you. So that when I'm like stuck in my own head and I'm only able to really think about what I need this week, that someone else can be like, here's what your clients need this week.
Yeah. And in that example, because I actually remember making that list, right? And I remember going over it with you. There was so many things on that list that you were initially thinking, well, I would never say that, or I would never phrase it that way. But even though that's the case, it still sparks an idea of, but yeah, here's how I would say it, or yeah, here's how I would, you know, talk about this. Right. And so some of those things, it's understanding that what people are going to bring to the table is maybe not exactly the way, like, what was it? The green pepper example, right? It might not be the exact way that you do it, but it's giving you the raw material to yeah, get the job done. Right. Oh my,
and it's like the starting point is versus opening a blank page and, you know,
exactly,
huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that is something that is invaluable because, again, it makes something that can feel really overwhelming just a little bit less overwhelming, right? And those little bits compound over time to, you know, give us much more freedom and capacity to show up in other ways in our lives.
Yeah. How would people know, as we start wrapping up here, how do our listeners who are business owners know when they are to the point of needing someone who does what you do?
I would say, you know, there's typically two or three really classic signs that you need a bit more strategic help in your business rather than just straight execution or implementation help. One of those is you're the bottleneck. Everything ends with you.
I'm like raising my hand. I am so... the bottleneck in my business.
Yes. So everything comes to you and waits days, weeks, maybe even months for you to have time to actually approve it and bless it and let it go. The other big one is you have really big ideas and really big plans to create something new in your business, whether it's a new asset, like a new, you know, revenue stream, whether it's a new course or a new program or something, but you kind of have no idea how to do that. You have no idea how to like take what you currently have, make that still work, and then also do this other thing, which is a pretty big, you know, project. And then I think the third thing is just kind of realizing I don't want to do this all by myself, right? I need someone else to help me manage these people, manage these tasks, help get things done, but also help me make sure that I'm using the most of my time and my capacity, because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't have endless amounts of time. We don't have endless amounts of capacity to show up for our businesses, especially as moms, if we want to show up as, you know, for our kids too, and for our partners. We have to protect that so that we can show up in all the areas of our lives. And so just recognizing that I'm ready to give up control and I'm ready to ask for help in a different way, in a more strategic way, is right, a pretty common, I would say those are the three most common things.
That totally makes sense. I want to ask you like 18 more questions, but I can't. So we'll have to do this again. Can you tell us how you work with people? Well, you've shared a little bit about how you work with people, but how people can connect with you. And if there's anything specific that you want people listening to kind of connect with in terms of who might want to reach out to you for business support.
Yeah, so I would say our website, which is just my name, teresabeheim.com, is the best way to find us. I attempt to post regularly on social media. That doesn't always happen, but
You're pretty good about it on Instagram.
I'm decent. And I'm now getting into threads. So, you know, there's that too. But website is generally the best way. And I always say my favorite people to work with, I generally mostly work with women, and I do work with a lot of moms, although that's not necessarily a requirement. I love to work with business owners who want to make an impact. At the end of the day, our businesses need to make money. They need to be profitable because it's a business and that's what its purpose is. But I love working with people who have something beyond just, I want to make money. They have some greater purpose, greater impact that they want to make in the world. And I love being able to help them make that impact. And so if that's you, you know, that always makes me so happy.
I love it. I know a handful of your clients, and yes, we are all people who want to have impact in specific ways. And you do a great job of helping us hold our visions. Oh my goodness. Okay. Final question. How are you currently showing up as a shameless mom?
I was really afraid of you asking this question. I honestly have a hard time answering this, but I would say, you know, I think every day it's really easy for us to give our kids too much and not ask enough of them. And I think sometimes what we need to do is kind of just say, I just don't have it in me to do all these things for you today. And I need you to kind of show up and, you know, in your 12-year-old way, in your 14-year-old way, I need you to do your part, right? Yeah. And it can be really challenging because we want to, so often we want to do everything for them, but that doesn't serve their good and it doesn't serve our good either. And so really just being transparent with them and saying, I don't have it in me today to do all the things and right. I need you to help in, you know, this way and this way. Of course, age appropriate, all those things. But really just showing up and saying, I need you to help participate today is probably how I'm doing it right now.
I love it. I love that permission to ask our children to help and support and be act like everyone's a member of the family. That means everyone takes responsibility for different things.
Everyone has to participate. I'm not the only one, right?
Yes. Where can people find you and connect with you? So you mentioned your website, which we will link up to in the show notes. That's Teresa Beheim, and Tressa is T-R-E-S-S-A, Beheim, B-E-H-E-I-M. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay. Right as I was spelling it, I was like, wait, did I just say that right? So people can go to shamelessmom.com, click on the episode with Tressa, and then from there, click right through to that website. We'll have that link there. And then we also have your LinkedIn and Instagram linked up on the show notes as well. Anywhere else you want to point people, or does that cover it?
That would probably cover it. Yeah.
Teresa, thank you for being here and thank you for all the ways that you support my business. I'm so grateful.
Oh, you're welcome. I had a great time.
Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly. Thank you.
Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're Amy more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.